This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
I would just say, sir, that the journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news. But the question that
but when
I
journalists
have,
make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes, and a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposely misleading the American people. Something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say... You cannot say... that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false, or when you're taking information that hasn't been validated, that hasn't been offered any credibility, and that has been continually denied by a number of people, including people with direct knowledge of an instance. This is something that I'm speaking about, the number of reports that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. I'm simply stating that there should be a certain level of responsibility in that process.
This was not,
Ryan, I called on Jim.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure. The ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people, and I think that it's very telling that that individual had to be suspended because of that reporting. I think that shows that the network took it seriously and recognized that it was a problem.
Sarah,
Jim?
If I may, though, I was going to ask a question about something.
Well, you used it on something else.
Sarah, if I may,
Sarah,
not yet. We're going to keep moving, guys.
If I can ask about the president's accusations.
I'm moving to a different Jim. I'm sorry.
I know, but I need a chance to ask the question that I wanted to ask, which is,
Jim,
can you just say once and for all whether these
Jim, I'm going to say once and for all that I'm moving on to Jim Stinson, and I'm not taking another question from you at this point.
They pretty much closed off that. I mean, you know, Jim Acosta is in a bit of a thorn on the side of, you know, whether it was, you know, and whether it is, you know, Sarah or, you know, before that, her predecessor, you know, this is what he does. And, you know, and so she moves on. But they try to make it more than what it was. And that is just, hey, look, she finished answering questions. You know, Scott, did you think that, you know, he was kicked out of the parade forever after that?
No,
I didn't think so. Yeah,
I thought that was, you know, you had your one question today and you chose to use it on. She said it. Had your one question today and you chose to use it on something else.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Sarah comes back with, or you know, if the White House comes back with a list of, you know, stories where they've gotten it wrong. I mean, I think it's pretty well accepted that the mainstream media has misrepresented this president. I mean, when you've got people who track this stuff. You know, 90% of what's being reported in the mainstream media is negative toward the president. I mean, how do you do that? That has to be absolutely divisive. It's got to be a commitment, a worldview that, you know, that says the president is 90% wrong, in essence. I mean, you got to go out. You got to really force your thinking to do that. And that, to me, is a clear indictment on the mainstream media. I mean, they haven't been fair. I mean, they allowed Barack Obama to get away with murder, so to speak, with the things that he did to our country. And there was no pushback on things. And now, you know, as you and I discussed a long time ago, we said that we'd be finding out more about Barack Obama and the administration upon his departure, because the mainstream media didn't have, I don't even know that it was so much the courage. They didn't bother to have courage, you know, because they were so much in the tank for this administration, for the progressive agenda, that, they felt like they were doing their job reporting on what they could see. And all they could see was what they believed. And what they believed was what, you know, President Obama was serving them. And now that he's out, we're finding out, because we have a businessman in the Oval Office, how many things the administration had messed up. And, of course, we were living the results of it. So we're happy for this opportunity of change that we really can believe in. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez. We are live.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. And got a real treat for you. Brand new book, 1917, Lenin Wilson and the Birth of the New World Disorder by Arthur Herman. Dr. Herman is the author of the New York Times bestseller, How the Scots Invented the Modern World, which has sold 500,000 copies worldwide, Gandhi and Churchill, which was a 2009 finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, has 6 other books, and of course our focus today will be on 1917, Lenin Wilson, and the Birth of the New World Disorder. Arthur Herman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about the book, which speaks of the idealism of Lenin and Wilson and what their ideal was in creating a century, which turned out to be a century of international disorder.
Yeah, and of course that was not what they anticipated was going to happen. Mm-hmm. When Woodrow Wilson entered the United States into the First World War, which we celebrate the 100th anniversary this year, mm-hmm. or when Lenin overturned the real Russian Revolution, the one that had actually toppled the Tsar, and it installed a representative government, which was in the process of building a constitution for Russia, and installed his own Bolshevik communist revolution instead, also the 100th anniversary of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what the book is about, is how these two men, with their misplaced idealism, or the idea that they could, through politics and political action, really save humanity from itself and build a whole new perfect world order, ended up actually creating a lot of disorder. And in Lenin's case, of course, a record of mass murder which has never been equaled in human history.
Exactly.
The legacy of communism.
It seems like from both, there was a common fault here. What did you determine that to be?
Well, okay, first of all, the thing to understand, and they're very different men in many ways, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, Woodrow Wilson, born and raised in Virginia, professor at Princeton University and then president of the university there. Lenin, born in the wilds of central Russia, becomes a professional revolutionary and conspirator in his late teens and spends a large part of his life actually in political exile, pursued by the Tsarist police. But they share certain key characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all is the fact that they're both intellectuals. And they see the world through the prism of perfect ideas and a perfect vision and a belief that they can, through the manipulation of words alone, shape the world into what they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them had any kind of actual political experience. I mean, when Wilson becomes president, in elected president in 1912. He's never traveled abroad. He's never left the United States. He knows nothing about what goes on in the outside world. Mm-hmm. And yet he's going to use the American entry into World War One as a way to shape that world about which he knows nothing. Mm-hmm. Lenin, too. He spent all this time in exile, hanging out in cafes, plotting and conspiring to overthrow the government. But he knew very little about Russia outside of his own hometown of Sverdlovsk or St. Petersburg, where he had briefly been a student. He knew very, very little about the actual political systems of the countries he lived in, including England. And yet these two men, for all of their superior brain power, and you have to give them credit, they were very intelligent men. There's no doubt they're well read. They were astonishingly ignorant of the world that they were trying to shape and trying to create a new, overthrow the old order and create a new order in its place.
Well, this is the problem that we have historically, and that is when we get people who have a certain gift and talent who work in the realm of the theoretical. Very intelligent men, both of them, as you say, but a lot of this was theoretical. And even like today, I mean, the question came up recently, and you'd appreciate this, Dr. Herman, is that, you know, where do you go to become and learn how to be president of the United States? You know, last time I checked, I didn't see a president... CEO, Commander-in-Chief 101 class being taught at Harvard or Yale or anything like that. It's probably the most incredible on-the-job training job that anybody could have.
Yeah, and you can have people with a lot of experience who actually turn out to be terrible presidents. And you can have people with a lot of formal credentials of being very, very smart, you know, with law degrees from Harvard Law School and so on. Mm-hmm. Who can turn out also to be extraordinarily dumb in the kinds of decisions that they make and where they try to move the country forward. I think in some ways, Bill, you could make it, there's almost a kind of generalization that mm-hmm. when you look over the history of American presidents, that the ones who generally have been the most derided as being rather stupid and dumb and ill-educated and ill-informed very often turn out to be some of the most effective presidents. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about people like Harry Truman and Ronald Reagan. And Dwight Eisenhower, you have to remember, mm-hmm. now he's treated as a sort of sainted figure in the pantheon of American presidents. But again, he was derided as being kind of a ignorant buffoon compared mm-hmm. to, let's say, Adlai Stevenson. You look at Ronald Reagan. I look at George W. Bush.
Exactly.
He's a lot smarter. And I think the record is still out on Donald Trump, but... I think in some ways the man who has had the kind of range of experiences he's had understands a lot more about how the world actually works than those who have gone, spent their lives getting degrees in law schools or international relations and the other places where the intellectuals who tend to sort of dominate American politics and our government tend to congregate.
Exactly. Well, you know, so often what happens is we come more in contact with the truth post an administration as opposed to while they're in it, because there's so much in the crosshairs of the media, and every pundit on the planet, especially in this social media driven environment we live in today. I mean, it's every moment incoming is targeted at the Oval Office. So, you know, for Donald Trump, fortunately, he's got quite a handle on, you know, like it or not, on tweeting. But that seems to be one of the key defenses of his administration.
Well, it's become, you know what it is? It's become what it is. The tweet is for Trump what Theodore Roosevelt called the bully pulpit.
Yes, exactly.
Bully pulpit, it means it's a way in which you can reach the American public directly, number one, but also a way in which you can sort of shape the national debate in ways that the mainstream media, which has gotten very comfortable over the last several decades of having control and monopoly over the national agenda, you can force the national agenda to move in different directions than they or the political establishment are used to moving. That's one of the reasons they despise him so much and why they fear him so much.
Well, they don't control the headlines. They don't control the headlines anymore.
and he has a fulcrum by which to move politics and to move policies, whether it's a question of how, you know, of kneeling at football games, or questions about illegal immigration, or questions about just what exactly is going wrong over there at the FBI and in the special counsel's office in ways that infuriate and anger the political establishment. But boy, don't they wish they could be as effective as he is in grabbing the headlines and moving the policy debate in a new and startling direction.
No question about it. Dr. Arthur Herman is with us. We're talking about his brand new book. More from him on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Getting America back on track.
I'm addressing Christmas cards. Aren't they cute? Each one has a little bunny on it dressed up like a shepherd.
Bill Martin. Martinez Live.
Back with you, America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. And, of course, we're going to be linking Dr. Herman's new book, 1917, Lennon Wilson and the Birth of the New World Disorder. That will be linked on our website. And, of course, the book available at all the usual places. What a read. And it really gives you an understanding of what happened during that era and the genesis of what you had with two very smart men. And, you know, it wasn't like they set out initially, did they, Dr. Herman, say, hey, let's kind of mess up everybody and let's mess up the world here, right?
No. And I think we have to sort of say, too, although both of them made missteps, and I think both of them had unrealistic expectations about how the world could be changed through political action alone or through words and ideas alone and ideologies. I mean, Wilson, you got to give him credit. His vision of the world was one in which human beings would live together in peace and freedom. There's no doubt about that. I don't think he had a clue as to how to make that happen or how to use American power in order to accomplish that. But his goals, at least, we can say were noble. In Lenin's case, his goals were world revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And what he saw was an explosion of class warfare that would spread across the globe, and in which out of the rubble and out of the piles of bodies, a new, more perfect Marxist order would arise. And what he got right was about the piles of bodies
in
the rubble. And what he got wrong was about the new order that was supposed to arise from it, of a dictatorship of the proletariat that would be one in which human beings would finally realize freedom and justice. Didn't happen in Russia under Lenin in 1917, as I explain in the book. And it's not part of his legacy, just the opposite.
Exactly. And I guess that was my point in the first segment in talking to you about what they got wrong. And to me, what I picked up was that, you know, in one case, Lenin was going to coerce people, force people into goodness and somehow just allow, you know, kind of like the Darwinistic approach of, the strong will survive and we'll make it go from there. And as opposed to Wilson, somehow he just thought and perceived wrongly that there's overall goodness within man just left up to his own devices, right?
That's a good way to put it. The belief that man is naturally good, and if you just get out of his way, that people will come together and form a community of peace and harmony, and that the reason that people fight and the reason that conflicts take place is because of bad people and bad institutions. When in fact, what we know, Bill, and I think what human experience has proved over thousands of years, is that those institutions and those traditions exist because human beings require restraint on their natural appetites
and
on their natural passions. And that these are, in fact, the binding forces that hold communities together. And when you pull those apart, when you wreck those bonds and those traditions that tie us together, what you get is not a utopia, it's not the age of Aquarius, it's not the paradise on earth, but what you get is a massive disorder, chaos. And that's why the subtitle of the book, the New World Disorder.
Exactly.
We're still living with it. We're still living with the consequences of what those two men set in motion 100 years ago.
Well, we have people today, Dr. Herman, that want to violate gravity. They, you know, it's like, wait a minute, don't you know law of gravity, really? Do you fall off the roof, hit the ground? It does hurt. You're going to get bruised or get broken up a bit. And there are people that still want to do it. And so whether it's gravity or other natural laws that people want to continue to violate, we're going to pay the price for it. And meanwhile, it gives continuation to this world disorder that you talk about.
It does. And now I think that what we are seeing, though, is something very interesting, Bill. If you look down the road, what you're sort of seeing today is, if you look at the international scene, that more and more of the ideological conflicts which have dominated the last century, and that really Lenin and Wilson represent, right? Two great ideologies of liberal internationalism on the part of the United States, that lasted from Wilson's presidency through World War II and the Cold War, up to, and then communism and the agenda of world revolution, which set the other camp for the Cold War, But these ideological conflicts are now, I think, beginning to wind down. What we're seeing is a return to old-fashioned power politics and great power politics. But the ideological clashes have now come home to roost here in our own country.
Yeah.
And the degree to which, when people talk about the two Americas, what we're seeing is more and more two Americas divided between the people who get up in the morning and read the New York Times and the Washington Post, and those who get up in the morning and turn on Fox and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And two worldviews, two ideological clashes, and that disorder has now become part of the warp and woof of our American political culture.
Yeah,
and I don't really know how that's going to work out. I don't really understand how it's going to work out. But it's the final extension of the great consequences of Lenin and Wilson and the events that unfolded 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, as you say, the line of demarcation is clear between the two tensions. And I insist that there's still too much fight in both sides. I think, you know, like somebody drowning, they just have to get to that point to where they finally surrender and maybe find a way to, you know, to come together to realize that, look, at we've spent a lot of money. We've gone through a lot of resources. We've blood and treasure and everything else along with it. And maybe enough's enough. And maybe we can realize that, hey, our founding fathers had a good idea here with this great American experiment. We come alongside and focus on the grander vision, then we can find a way to get along. Because I find myself, Arthur, in talking with people, is that even the most hardened is that, you know, we probably agree on most of the principles. Get the emotion out of it. And if we can have a conversation and advance the discussion, it works well. But boy, I'll tell you, sometimes it is, you know, you can get caught in a bucket of gum and it can get pretty frustrating.
Yeah. And I think your hopes are, I hope, well placed.
Mm-hmm.
But I see an ideological chasms that may be very difficult to breach. Until people realize that it's one which is not doing the country any good, and it's also not doing our position in the world any good. You know, I am a survivor of the 1960s. I was active in politics in those days, and that was pretty grim. You know, that was pretty grim. What it was like in 1968, where you had the assassination of Martin Luther King, followed, you know, almost weeks later by the assassination of John F. Kennedy. When you had, you know, the riots in Chicago at the Democratic Convention, and
you mean Robert Kennedy is what you know,
who did I say?
You said JFK.
No, of course I meant.
No, I knew you meant Robert.
That was the country tearing itself apart.
Yeah, Vietnam War, all in the midst of hippie love and the Jesus movement.
The race riots in America's major cities.
Exactly.
Of which the scars, if you go to downtown to where my wife and I now live in Washington D.C., you can still see the scars of that. There's still parts of the city in which have not fully recovered from those riots of 1968. So we've been through a lot worse, and we went through a lot worse in World War One. You know, World War One. One of the reasons I wrote this book, Bill, is that World War One is, in some ways, one of America's forgotten wars.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid growing up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the man who lived across the alleyway from us was a World War One veteran. He'd been in France.
Wow.
During the war, and gave me as a gift, because they knew I was interested in military history, gave me as a gift the helmet of a German cuirassier that he had brought back from the campaign in France. But, you know, when I was growing up, World War One veterans, it was part of the society, it was part of the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all overshadowed by the experience of World War II, you know, the good war.
Exactly.
And so what Americans sacrificed and what they did and the price that they paid in World War One, that's also part of why I wrote the book, is to pay tribute to that and to the service that they gave and to the sacrifice that they made in order to win that war.
Well, we got to leave it right there. Sadly, you and I could be talking for hours, I got to tell you, because this is so fascinating. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. You will be blessed by this book, 1917, Lenin Wilson, and the Birth of the New World Disorder. This is quite the gift from Dr. Arthur Herman. Dr. Herman, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Have you checked your ECS lately? We have. We are New Pharma, scientists who specialize in human functions controlled by the endocannabinoid system, or ECS. Let me simplify. Your ECS is involved in physiological processes like appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and immune systems. New Pharma's patent-pending science is the big difference in our natural solutions, formulated for your well-being. For example, our foundation product provides targeted nutrition to support a healthy endocannabinoid system, which is directly responsible for managing and controlling inflammation. This product contains turmeric, which is known as one of the best anti-inflammatories on the planet. Our allergies product contains sage, which is a very effective decongestant. See all of our amazing capsules, essential oils, and ECS herbal tea at GNUPHARMA.com. New Pharma. Your path to wellness begins here.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Across the country, on your smartphone, and around the world, you've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like us, independent, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez. Hey, diamonds are still a girl's best friend, I think, as the song says. And it remains the ultimate gift of love. And, you know, there are some things that you want to know about those sparkly holiday purchases before you get too deep. And we've got an expert with us. Debbie Azar is going to join us in just a moment. She is the co-founder of the Gemological Science International. But just to kind of bring this into perspective here, let me share with you, the average American will spend $700 on holiday gifts and goodies this year, totaling more than $465 billion. The National Retail Federation is estimating 23% of that is spent on jewelry and diamonds. Diamonds represent perhaps the most emotional, most meaningful, and significant purchase one can make. So it's crucial that you do your homework and make sure you know exactly what you are buying. However, with so much misinformation to be found online, there's even fake news when it comes to diamonds. It's essential to make sure your research is done with a credible source and to work with educated, qualified retailers who have proper certifications. After all, you wouldn't want to buy a home without getting a proper inspection. So let's bring on the expert, Debbie Azar, co-founder, as I said, of the Gemological Science International. Debbie, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. Keep us out of trouble here. What things, what important things do we need to consider when making a diamond purchase?
there's a lot of important things to consider when making that diamond purchase. First and foremost, you should establish your budget. There's a budget. There's a diamond for every budget. You don't have to break the bank to buy a diamond. It's very important to insist on a grading report from a reputable gem lab like GSI so you know exactly what you're getting and ultimately for your peace of mind as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And, you know, the first thing, as you say, you know, in doing your homework, and it does start with that budget to know how much you're going to spend. I mean, if you know that $465 billion is being spent this year, you don't need to break the bank and match up that $465 billion. That's in total. And even $700, you know, an average American will spend. But, you know, it's always wise to have a good budget in mind before you start out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to really have that budget and, you know, like you said, do your homework. So understand mm-hmm. what you're getting into, what you know, so your budget is going to match up to the reality of what your purchase is as well.
Now, we're looking at diamonds specifically. So the 4Cs still come into play?
Yeah, absolutely. And the 4Cs are really key. The 4Cs mm-hmm. are the color, clarity, cut, and carat weight of the diamond. And these are things that ultimately are going to determine the pricing of the diamond. So it's important to insist on that grading report so you've got all the 4Cs in front of you and you can make the right and informed decision.
Now, is this what makes up the actual grading report for each diamond?
So this is the grading report. GSI, we're one of the largest independently owned gemological laboratories in the world. And on any one of our grading reports, you can find the 4Cs of the diamond and then additional information such as if it's natural, if there's any treatments, information on the metal, and mm-hmm. specific characteristics about the diamond or jewelry that you're looking to purchase.
Now, the 4Cs, have they been pretty static over the years? I mean, nothing really has changed much on that, right?
Yeah, it's color, clarity, cut, and carat weight. Those are the basic 4Cs. And then there's always additional characteristics that diamond or jewelry item may or may have. If you're purchasing a color stone or color diamond, there's some additional information there that you would find on a grading report as well.
What is it about diamonds that women love so much? There's just something magical about diamonds.
Beautiful, yeah. They're beautiful. They're magical. I mean, it's really such an emotional and significant gift. And what girl doesn't love a sparkly diamond or a beautiful piece of jewelry? It's a great gift for anyone.
Yeah, because I've never seen anything like diamonds elevate a woman. I mean, when she opens up that box and sees diamonds, it's like you know you've done well.
Yes. And
right.
It's a perfect gift. Yes, absolutely. I mean, and there are so many different things to choose from, right? So you can pick earrings, bracelets, there's stackables that are really trendy now, vintage pieces. There's so much to choose from. You really can't go wrong.
Okay, guys, are you taking notes here? You know what to do, right? Okay, you want to make sure you've got the right budget, understand what the 4Cs are all about, and so you go in and nobody takes advantage of you, and that's you know, you've chosen a good retailer, or even, as you say, Debbie, an e-tailer.
Yeah, a retailer or an e-tailer, for that matter. Just make sure there's a grading report from a lab like GSI. So whether you're in the store or you're online, you know exactly what you're getting.
Well, Debbie, I get so emotional talking about diamonds here. I need you to unfold that a little bit more, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, if you need any additional information, you can always visit our website at www.gemscience.net. And again, the most important thing is establish your budget, make sure you've got a grading report from a reputable lab like GSI, and then also make a connection with that jewelry piece or diamond. You know, once you've got your budget, once you've got the grading report, make a connection, let that diamond or jewelry speak to you. You'll find the right one, and you'll know you've got the right purchase. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. Debbie, what makes a natural diamond so rare?
Well, natural diamonds take billions of years to form, and they're formed hundreds of miles beneath the Earth's surface. Over these billions of years, they're brought to the Earth's surface by volcanic eruptions. Like snowflakes, there are no two that are ever the same, and less than 20% of all mined diamonds can actually be used for jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, there's no question that diamonds can make you feel good. Let's talk about what you can say about the good that diamonds do.
Diamonds actually do a lot of good. There are countries in Africa where natural diamonds are mined, such as Botswana, Namibia, and they rely solely on the jobs that are provided by the diamond industry and also the financing that it brings for their hospitals, for schools, for clean water. If we stopped mining diamonds in these countries, they wouldn't be able to survive. Personally, I serve as a board member for the Jewelers for Children, which is a charity in our industry, which to date has donated over $50 million to St. Jude's, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Elizabeth Glazer AIDS Pediatrics, and many other noteworthy charities. So diamonds really do a lot of good.
Well, and I appreciate you bringing that out because, of course, there's been recently, over the last several years, you know, we've heard, you know, the downside of some of the bad players involved here. But there are many retailers, most retailers here in this country, are very vigilant about making sure they're dealing with a reputable source, just as you pointed out, right, Demi?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got to, again, whether you've got to know who you're dealing with, whether you're the retailer itself or, you know, the consumer who's going out to make that purchase, know who you're working with, ask for an independent grading report, and really, it's such a great purchase. You can't go wrong.
Exactly. Well, and Debbie, you want everything to be good about the diamond, I mean, for what it does. And, you know, the last thing you want is something maybe adversarial that would come against the gift that you've just presented, and so one of the points that you you point out to us is that we should be aware of the origin of the diamond, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something, you know, very simply that you can ask the retailer or that you could find on your grading report. You know, even Meghan Markle's ring, I think it comes from Botswana. You know, and Botswana is a great example of one of those countries where diamonds really does help their population, and they really do rely on the jobs and the financing and everything that we provide. You know, diamonds can also come from Australia, different countries in Africa, Canada, the Arctic. So, you know, you can always ask the origin of your diamond.
What area should we stay away from particularly?
I don't think there's any area to stay away from. You know, the industry, really, our industry did an amazing job. They got together with, you know, government organizations and non-government organizations, civil organizations to combat, you know, the issue that you were just bringing up. So, you know, I think we've really done an amazing job to combat the issue. And even Botswana has probably one of the stable and longest democracies in all the African countries because of the diamond mining that's done over there.
Exactly. So it's been win-win all the way around. Debbie Azar, co-founder of Gemological Science International. Debbie, again, remind everybody where they can go for more information.
www.gemscience.net.
Well, it's just that simple. And once again, we're reminded, you know, diamonds still are a girl's best friend. Why not, huh, Debbie?
Absolutely.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for being with us and sharing all this great information. Appreciate it.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years' experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816.
Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat.
Thepowermall.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Shouldn't you know, why not have it be a great day, okay? If, as much as it's up to me and you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to be talking with Pastor Tim Keller, who's going to be joining us. I've been using his book on Psalms as a devotional in the past year. And, of course, he gave me something new all over again. And we're going to be talking about the wisdom of Proverbs. And he joins us right now, pastor and author Timothy Keller, well known for his best-selling books and devotionals, as well as founding Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, which Christianity Today called one of Manhattan's most vital congregations. Pastor Keller, good to have you back with us. Always good to be talking with you. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great today. Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing through the transition? I know earlier this year, you and Kathy decided that it was time for another phase in the Keller life.
Yes, we divided Redeemer into three churches that meet at three locations. Each has their own senior pastor, their own elder board, their own staff. I stepped out. I'm no longer the senior pastor of any of those churches, nor am I the preacher. But each of the churches has agreed over the next few years to each start three new churches. Three new churches. That's another nine churches. And I'm around to help train all those new leaders. So I'm still serving them, but I'm no longer the big cheese.
Well, but you're still all that in a bag of chips, but just in a different sort of way, on a different shelf.
Yeah.
I know that. And your heart, in terms of, you know, spreading the message and, reaching out and church planning, for you and Kathy now to be able to do this and to see the leadership step up, leadership that you have trained along the way, this has to just be exceedingly rewarding for you.
That's also a little bit like, I am like a parent, as it were, with your kids who are now are on their own. And so you worry about them, but you're also extremely proud about them, proud of them. And so that's exactly how it is.
Well, and it's pretty ambitious to be able to say, okay, we're going to, go to three separate entities
every entity is charged with, establishing and founding, you know, three more churches themselves. This is what this is all about, isn't it?
It is. I mean, ultimately, that's exactly we should always be extending and spreading and not holding on. In other words, we're not supposed to hold all of our people, our money, you know, into our comfortable zones. We're supposed to be giving them away and sending them out. But that's how God multiplies the kingdom, is through our sacrifices.
Without a doubt. Well, you know, I find it quite interesting in contrast, and I've shared this with several, you know, men in several different Bible study groups, is that if they had something, you know, like a stock tip to offer or some big deal that they got on a car or something, they wouldn't be reticent whatsoever to speak out about it, right? I mean, they love sharing good news. And so here it is, the good news of redemption. Sometimes I wonder if the reason that we do not share it and we hold back is because maybe we just don't realize the full benefit of what Jesus has given us in redeming us.
Well, there's only two, that's one of them. There's only two possible reasons why we don't speak out. The one is we actually don't realize, like you said, the value that we have. I mean, we don't realize how absolutely glorious it is. The other is that we're afraid. You know, we're afraid of being shunned or being thought ill of, and that's cowardly. But it's one or the other. It's either not realizing the greatness of what you have, or just being afraid to suffer a bit for His name.
Well, Tim, don't you find it quite interesting, you know, because you bring up a good point in this politically correct environment in which we live in. Gallup just did a poll last year, and I thought something that came out quite clear and surprisingly was secular America was saying, hey, where are the Christians? You know, we need their guidance, you know. Well, you told them to shut up and not to say anything, and so they heeded your words and got out of the public square and the discussion of important issues that we're dealing with today, and now you're saying, hey, come back, you know, we've driven the bus into the ditch and we need somebody who knows how to drive this thing.
Yes, actually, it goes all the way back. In the 1970s, a man named John Rawls, who was a professor at Harvard, wrote a couple of books in which he basically said, in the public square, in the public discourse, people should not bring religious views because they're too controversial. So you shouldn't be bringing religious views into the public square. So it was theorized at a very high level, and that became the way the culture began to say, oh, yes, that's divisive. Now, what's funny, of course, is that when you actually have people out there in the public square, anything you say is divisive, whether it's religious,
exactly,
or not. Or even the idea that religion should be kept out of the public square, that's divisive. You know, it's kind of ironic. I mean, you say, well, I don't want you to give me your religious views because people are going to get angry if you bring in your religious views, but people are going to get angry if you say that you can't bring your religious views in. So I'm hoping in the future there will be a consensus. Mm-hmm. But everybody, as long as they speak respectfully and show concern for the public good, should be able to speak out of whatever their belief system is. But right now, I think there's a lot of fear and anger, and I don't know. I don't know. But I hope that's where we go. I hope that's where we go.
No, I'm with you. I sense a little bit like, you know, they tell lifeguards when somebody's drowning, don't go in and save them right away. You got to let them fight themselves out. And I think our society is doing a little bit of that. It's fighting itself out to where I find it it's not that it's easy, but it's easier, getting easier, because people are realizing after they've done it their way, you know, for so long, that it's just not quite working out. I mean, look what's happening, you know, in cultural bookmarks like the NFL, and you've got Hollywood unwinding, its brand deteriorating, all these things that have had, you know, traditionally incredible impact on our culture are all coming to question now.
I hope so. I mean, I think that way on my optimistic days. So
I'm right with you.
I do see signs of hope. I see a lot of signs of hope, but of course, they're not. It's not sure. It's not certain. I mean, I'm a Christian minister, so Jesus says the gates of hell won't prevail against the church that I'm founding, and therefore, I never feel like the church will ever go away or that it'll. But on the other hand, I mean, it can be a long time in the wilderness, and I'm hoping that it won't be.
Well, and he does say that the gates of heaven suffer violence, the righteous take it by storm. So we have a responsibility here, and in order to warrior up, you've blessed us with a follow-up to your study and a devotional on the Book of Psalms, which, you know, I thank you and Kathy every day. I mean, this has just been a mainstay, and it came at the perfect time when you introduced the book. I said, you know, I was looking for a devotional, and this was exactly, you know, what the doctor ordered. You know, thank you, God, for the Book of Psalms and your inspiration. And now you're giving us talk about turning the tables upside down, God's wisdom for navigating life, a year of daily devotions in the Book of Proverbs.
Yes. Now, Kathy's concern, by the way, is if you like the Book of Psalms, you might think the Book of Proverbs is exactly the same. It's not. Actually, this is an overstatement, okay, but Psalms is more about feelings and about emotions and about how do you deal with your anxiety and your anger and your disappointment. I mean, Psalms is incredibly great for helping you figure out how do I process these strong feelings toward God. But Proverbs is more about thinking. It is actually more about saying you need to think out more the implications of what of the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule for every area of life. So she thinks, I mean, she's right, we need both. But there will be some people who like the feeling, they like the Psalms, and when they get the Proverbs, they're going to say, well, this is too intellectual. And there's other people who are going to like the Proverbs, and they're going to get to the Psalms, and they're going to say, this is too much about emotions and feeling. But we actually need both, because actually God put them both in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I look at it, Tim, was that, Psalms gives us that, that vertical relationship with God, and Proverbs brings us down to earth and to deal with the horizontal. Is that fair?
Yeah. Again, as I just said, that's an oversimplification, because obviously the Psalms does talk about the horizontal, and Proverbs has always got the vertical in mind. It's always, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
So my relationship with God, but in general, you're right. It's absolutely more about how do you live life on this plane, and Psalms is much more about how do I relate to God in this, yes.
So why the Book of Proverbs? Was it just a natural follow-up?
It's partly a natural follow-up. I'll tell you this, though. I've always found it hard to read the Book of Proverbs chapter by chapter. They go by too quick. You notice, when you read most books of the Bible, when you read a chapter, you're usually reading one or two subjects, right? But when you read the Book of Proverbs, like read chapter 10 or read chapter 11 of Proverbs, there'll be 25 to 35 verses there, and it's on 15 or 16 different subjects.
Exactly.
Because each proverb talks about a different subject. Then you go to the next chapter, and there's another 15 or 16 subjects, and you don't have they go by too quickly to really think about each of them. And I've always found that the traditional way of just reading Proverbs through chapter by chapter, it doesn't give you the time to really digest. What Kathy and I did in this book is we put them together topically. So for a week or two, you'll have all the Proverbs on marriage, or then for another week or two, all the Proverbs on how do you deal with fights and conflicts. And so that's the idea, is that I think it'll help you digest it better. That's why the book.
Well, what a great Christmas gift. I want to thank you again. Psalms was such a blessing for me, and I'm looking forward to the devotional of the Book of Proverbs that you and Kathy have put together. So this is on my devotional list for 2018. All the best for the holiday season. Have a Merry Christmas, you and Kathy, and all the best to the new team as they continue to expand and realize the vision that you have for Redeemer there, Tim Keller. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, too.
You take care. God bless.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.